Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your precious word. But Lord, your word always calls us to a decision. It's not enough just to listen. We need to be able to make a choice. And that choice which we make is going to change our lives, Heavenly Father. And we pray that we would make the right one as we live for you. And Lord, that's never the one that's just for convenience. It's the one that goes along with the truth. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to see in this world that we need to always choose you. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're finishing the trial, which was not a trial. The trial was actually not on Jesus. The trial was actually on Pilate, and who Pilate was as a governor and as a leader. Because he had already three times, and we saw this last week, said that Jesus was innocent. He said, I find no fault in this man. And in the verse that we looked at last week, in verse 11, Jesus told him, you could have no power, no authority at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. So Jesus has, it says in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus has all authority. Jesus is sovereign. And the governors in this world, and this is very, very important to learn as we go towards this election, that no matter what happens, we as Christians don't fear. The authority is given by Christ here to Pilate. He has all authority, and he gives it to Pilate, and he gives it to us. He says, you have that authority. I give it to you to go into the world and make disciples, followers, baptizing them and teaching them all that I've commanded you. So he's given us the authority to spread his kingdom in the world, but he gave Pilate the authority to govern that area of Judea. It was handed to him by Pilate, and who's really being tried here is Jesus, is Pilate, by Jesus, as to how he was going to use his authority. Christ is the source of all government authority. And the people who are going to be tried in the end are the governors and the kings and the leaders and the presidents. And they're not going to be tried at the ballot box. We'll get to elect who our country elects. But in the end, they're going to have to stand before God and give an account as to how they led. And so the choice is who's going to be your king. And this is a choice for Pilate. This is a choice for the Jews. And this is a choice for us. In verse 12, from then on, Pilate, I want you to notice this, sought to release him. Pilate wanted to let him go, but he wanted to have an excuse. He didn't want to just let him go. Now, he should have just let him go. He had already said three times, the guy is innocent. The man has no fault. But now he's trying to find ways to let him go. But the Jews cried out, saying, if you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. So Pilate had this on him. He says, we're going to report this to Caesar. We're whistleblowers here. And we're going to let Caesar know that you're letting this other king rule. Now, Christ had already said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my people would get out and fight. Peter tried, but I told him to put his sword away. Healed the guy. We went on. So, you have nothing to fear, Pilate, from me. My kingdom is not of this world. I'm not trying to build a nation. I'm not trying to kick you out of Judea. I'm not trying to go against Caesar's reign. I put him there. I put you there. But in the end, Pilate has to decide, like the Jews had already decided, who has the primary place in his life. Now, Pilate called him king. He said, behold, at the end of verse 14, he says, behold your king. Pilate, here at the governing spot, said, this is your king. In fact, later he wrote it on the cross, and the Jews said, why don't you write, this man said, he's the king of the Jews. And Pilate said, what I've written, I've written. See, Pilate recognized something. Pilate's wife came to him in a dream, said, don't have anything to do with this man. Pilate three times said, I find no fault in him. Pilate had heard the claims that he was a king, understood what kind of a king he was, and agreed, but still didn't let him go. See, and the principle in the end is you're going to serve your true master. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Christ has said, you can't serve two masters. You're going to love the one or hate the other. You're going to despise the one and follow the other. You cannot have more than one king. And the Jews were right about this. No one in the end who follows Christ is Caesar's friend. Now, they're not Caesar's enemy either, but Caesar is going to always fight the authority of Christ, because Caesar's fallen. And when I'm saying Caesar, I'm talking about governments in the world. There will never be a government that is always friendly towards what you and I believe. Because what you and I believe is that there is a king, there is an eternal king, and that when our king says something against their king, we must follow our king. And they never liked that. And you can see that today. Our king isn't calling us to fight against them with swords. You know, it's their own people who are burning towns down. They're not believers who are doing that. All our king is saying is, get together, assemble, share the word. And yet they're angrier at us for meeting in church than they are with people who are burning down their cities. Isn't that strange? They're angrier with the king who says, come in, get in a little building, wear your masks if you need your masks, keep distant, but listen to the word of God and praise and follow him. It's always between Christ and Caesar, because Caesar, the government, thinks it's doing things for your good. The government is trying to keep you safe. All these mandates, they really, you know, I don't think these people think they're being evil. I think they're trying to keep you safe. But there is no safety in this life. You get up in the morning, you can trip out of bed, hit your head on the floor, and die. People do. You can be driving down the highway, and unlike a certain person in our church, the angels won't be holding on to your ball joint and fall apart and you crash into a wall and die. People die from the dumbest things. And yet, they're trying to keep us safe. And they don't think you know well enough to do it. But the trouble is, here's the thing, Caesar isn't powerful enough to keep you safe. There is no government official in the world who is powerful enough to keep you safe, because the soul that sins, it shall die. You know, they hear, I'm saving, you know, nobody has saved a life. No, you've just made it longer. But every person who doesn't die of COVID is going to be, you know, I'm going to give you some good news this morning. If you don't die of COVID, you're going to die of something. It's going to happen. One of these days they're going to put you in a box or burn you in a little pile of ashes or do something like that, and me too. And all the safety measures in the world won't stop it. There's only one person who has you safe, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in him to live is Christ and to die is gain. You're safe if you die. What governor can tell you that? So we need to choose. Who are we going to follow? Jesus says, don't fear the person who destroyed your body. Fear the one who can destroy a person's body and soul in Hades, in Gehenna, in hell. But who's chosen you when you put your faith in him? You're safe. But Pilate makes his choice. In verse 13, then Pilate therefore had heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat at the place that is called the pavement, and in Hebrew, Gabbatha. In verse 16, then he delivered him to be crucified. He sat down in the judgment seat, took the man he knew was innocent, and handed him over to the cross. That was Pilate's choice. Now Pilate boasted back down in verse 10. He said, don't you know I can free you and I can have you. I can let you go. I can do all these things. Jesus says, I know what you're going to do. See, Pilate had a lot of power on paper. He was the governor of Judea. He was tasked by Caesar to rule and to do his will in all of that area. He was a powerful man. And he was boasting about it to Christ. You're not talking to me. You're not speaking to me. I've got the power. On paper, he was a powerful man. But in reality, he was Pilate the puppet. And so much of the choices in this world are like that. Verse 12, the first part of it says, from then on, Pilate sought to release him. Pilate wanted to release him. He wanted to let him go. What did he end up doing? Exactly what his puppet masters wanted. He gave up. He put justice aside. He washed. Physically washed his hands as if that was saying, I'm not making a choice. And they pulled his strings. You're not Caesar's friend. Watch out for the government, Mr. Pilate. Give him over to be crucified. And they pulled his strings. And after he said, I have the power to set you free, three times innocent man, go crucify him. See, Pilate made his choice. Political power on paper, but really in his reality, he's a puppet. And we've got these political leaders now. It's no different. Most of the people in power today are being backed by people who tell them exactly what they're supposed to do. And when you get one that isn't, watch out. When you get a person who's not following everybody's money string, that guy can make some difference. But Pilate, he made his choice. He chose the convenient. He chose the easy way out. He recognized Jesus' kingship, put it on his sign, told the Jews, here's your king. Do you want me to crucify your king? And when they said yes, he said, okay. I know he doesn't deserve it, but okay. And so we need to understand that this choice is always before us. You will make a choice. You will decide in every area of your life whether you're going to follow the convenient, follow the easy way, follow the thing that looks right at the moment, that's good in your own eyes, like the book of Judges kept on saying, or whether you're going to follow the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's not going to be an easy road. He says, hey, the one that wants to be my follower, my disciple, take up your cross and follow me. Not for salvation. We're saved by grace through faith. Jesus paid the price. Jesus went through this kangaroo court and the pain of the crucifixion so that you and I wouldn't have to. Jesus took all the pain of hell on himself so that we by faith could be made righteous, have the righteousness of God, 2 Corinthians 5:21. But the reality is, in our lives, we have this choice every day. We are Christians. We say we're part of him. We're part of his body. And we have the choice. Do we do what's convenient? Do we do what the people say? You know, it's amazing the things I've seen in polls that Christians are saying are okay today. Christians are saying, yeah, it's fine to kill babies in the womb. They may be saved. You're saved by grace through faith, not by being pro-life. But they're sure not listening to the word. Christians that say, yes, it's okay to go against God's created plan for marriage. Yes, it's okay to, even Christians who say, yes, it's okay to say, because someone who's made in God's image is a different color than I am, they're worthless. People say those things. Christians, people who may have trusted Christ, say those things. They choose what's convenient, what makes them feel good. Like Pilate. They give up what God wants them to be for. Because religious peoples also make a choice. And the religious people here made their choice. In chapter 19, verses 14 and 15, now it was the preparation day for Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, behold your king. And they cried out, away with him, crucify with him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests, I want you to notice who, the chief priests said, we have no king but Caesar. Now I want you to notice some things about the irony of this passage, because this was the preparation day for Passover. What is Passover? Passover was that service, that wonderful feast that they had to get free from Pharaoh, from the Caesar at that time, from the man who had put their people in slavery for 400 years. This is what they were celebrating. They were celebrating the fact that they were free from the Egyptian Caesar. And that made them all happy to go out and cross the Red Sea and follow the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They're celebrating Passover. And now the King of Kings and Lord of Lords has come to see them face to face. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Passover came and was there before him, and they rejected it. And said, we have no king but the current Pharaoh, Caesar. How amazing that these, and who did it? Not the average Jew out in the street. The priests. The ones who from the beginning of Christ's ministry were called by the Caesar at that time, Herod. Where is the Messiah going to be born? And they knew. He's born in Bethlehem. Because, and they quoted the scripture in Micah. And then they stayed in Jerusalem. And this was the next generation of the same group of people. They knew all the same prophecies. They had watched all the same things that Christ had done. They'd seen him heal. They'd seen him do all these things. They'd heard him preach with authority. But they had said, no, he's not convenient. And now they get before the governor and they say what no Jew should ever have said. The Jews waiting for Messiah are coming here and claiming and confessing, we have no king but Caesar. See, the commandment that was given right after Passover was, you shall have no other gods before me. No other gods before me. That was the commandment. And here comes Pilate. Pilate presenting Christ as king. The governor in verse 14. He comes out at the judgment seat. Notice this. He's at the judgment seat. He comes out there and he says, behold your king. And the Jews say, no, that's not our king. He's a son of David. You could check the genealogies right in the same temple that's next door to the place where Pilate was judging Jesus, was the temple with all the genealogies, the same ones that you find in Matthew and Luke. You can go back and trace his lineage to David. He's the son of David. Even the blind men in the street knew that. Son of David, heal me. And Pilate, the governor himself, under the authority of the government, says, here, behold your king. And they say, we have no king but Caesar. The Jews embrace what they hate. They had people among them like Barabbas who were trying to fight against the Roman government. They had revolutions. This is why Pilate was in trouble. The Jews hated the Roman leadership because the Roman leadership could have a soldier come up to you in the middle of the street doing whatever you're doing, tap you on the shoulder and say, you got to carry my pack a mile. And you had to drop whatever you're doing, carry your pack a mile. And the soldier only went a mile because you were going. Then you had to come back. You walk too. The Roman government could do anything they wanted to you at any time. Pilate himself had taken some Galileans and mixed the blood, their blood with the blood of their sacrifices. It was not a nice thing to be under Rome. It was a hard fist. It was a pharaoh. The Jews were a backwater, not cared for colony. And now the Jewish religious leaders are putting their arms around what they hate. We have no king but Caesar. How that word must have hurt inside with them, but they used it to get their way. How often do we, for convenience sake or because it gets our way, do we embrace what we hate instead of following the will of the Lord? See, they forgot Passover's lesson. What's Passover's lesson? When you put your livelihood under control of the government, you get enslaved. Because there's always going to be one who's against you. You know what happened in Genesis and Exodus? In Genesis, there was a famine. See, God had promised Israel the promised land. He said, stay in the promised land. The famine came. They went, and Joseph had gone to Egypt, been sold into Egypt by his brothers. And they went into Egypt and they got food. But how long was the famine? Y'all remember? 7 years. Why didn't they go back to the land of promise after 7 years? Why didn't they say, okay, the famine's over. We're going to live in the land where God promised, our land, this land. No, they stayed because it was nice in Egypt. They were given the land of Goshen. It was the best of the land. It was the best part of the land. And then the beginning of Exodus comes. There came a Pharaoh who didn't give a hoot about Joseph. Doesn't quite say it that way, but that's what it means. And that Pharaoh saw a powerful nation and made them slaves. You put your security in Caesar's hand, and Caesar eventually will say, ha, I can get work out of you. That was the lesson of Passover. They should have gone for 7 years during that famine. They stayed 400. And the Jews forgot it. They had godliness. No, these were the priests. These were the leaders. These were the ones who should say what Psalm 91 says. You know, put yourselves under the shadow of Messiah's wings and you will have 10,000 will fall at your side and you'll be fine. There'll be angels who will not allow your toe to be stubbed. But they put their fate in the hand of Caesar. They feared Caesar. They embraced him. We as believers, yes, get involved, go vote. I tell you, this election more than any other, you go out and you vote. You do your part to make sure that we get the best government that we can possibly have. But don't put your trust in it. Caesar will bite you whether he's got an R or a D after his name. In the end, the only one who's going to promise is, Trump, Biden, they can't promise you, I'll work all things together. Yeah, they can promise you, but they can't deliver. I'll work all things together for good. Either of them. But Jesus does. All things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to whose purpose? Caesar's purpose? His purpose. And they made their choice. And then Caesar turned around in 70 AD and wiped out their city. They have got a form of godliness, like Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. We are the people of the Most High. We're the chief priests of the Jews, God's chosen people. We have no friend, but no king but Caesar. How does that go? You and I, I'm glad to be an American. I'm glad to live in this country where I have, at this point, the freedom of speech and the freedom to come and assemble with you all, the freedom to share the gospel and these other things. But I'll tell you what, that could change in an instant, but God is still the same. And He will protect you. And to live is always Christ, and to die is always gain. But the religion that follows and gives it its power to government has no power in the end. Because Psalms 2 is still true. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. He holds them in derision. Pilate is not looked upon by anyone as a smart man who made the right decision. See, the thing is, Pilate, he knew the truth. He gave lip service in verses 19 through 22. He called him the King of the Jews. He put it up on his cross. He said, I've said it, but it's not the same as living it. Pilate will always be known as the coward. Pilate will always be known as the person who knew the truth, put it aside, and lived a lie. What about you? What about me? We come in here and we claim the truth of Jesus Christ. We claim the truth of the gospel, that you're saved by grace through faith, not by the things you do, but because Jesus died and rose again on the cross. Historically, in truth, and if we put our trust in Him, we have eternal life. We live and say, Jesus keeps me safe. Jesus is my what? What's the word we say? Trust Him as your Savior. Your Savior. Not just keep you out of hell. Jesus makes your life worth it. He walks with you. His authority is with you. He'll protect you. He makes all things work together for good. You and I say we believe that. It's in our doctrinal statements. It's in our Bibles. But we walk in fear and too often make choices that go against it. It's not enough to know the truth and acknowledge the truth. Pilate knew the truth and acknowledged the truth. We got to live it. Only then will the world see how powerful our King is. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's let the world get a taste. Don't walk in the fear of the pilots. of the Caesars. You're safe in the hands of God. He will not let you go. So go out there and live that way. Let the world see what it means to be truly committed to the only one who can truly keep you. Yahweh, Yasha, Yeshua, the Lord who saves. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning, for this time that we have. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to not be like Pilate in our daily lives, who said, yes, you're king, but then threw you aside. Help those of us who have trusted you as Savior to go forward in that confidence that the government can't keep us safe. The government, in the end, doesn't have our best will in mind. The government, in the end, will be a Pharaoh or a Caesar. Better than no government at all, for sure. But Lord, only the King of Kings and Lord of Lords can truly keep us safe. Help us to walk in Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.